What are some of the most memorable and some of your favorite talk show moments of all time? TV Guide put together a list of them. And it's very comprehensive, and it covers all kinds. It covers daytime talk. It covers, you know, your late night talk shows. It really is. It's pretty. It covers so much and so many memories. You know, memorable moments. And they did rank them, you know, in order of which ones they which ones were the most memorable. But I want to hear from you. What are some of the most memorable talk show moments that come to mind? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. On WGN. I'll tell you what, for me, Dan, the most memorable talk show moments involved Nikki D on Craig Ferguson's show when there was that stretch at the end of 2013 going into 2014 where I became like a character on the show.
That's right.
On the show. And they read several of my emails and did a lot of crazy bits. Those are some of my favorite memories. And I had them all on my DVR. And then my DVR conked out. I had to get a new one. You know, my cable box went out, and I had to get a new cable box. And they're gone now. There's some of them are up on YouTube somewhere.
Right. In our podcasts, we collected a couple of them.
Yeah, we have some from the old podcast because, you know, when I would get mentioned, we'd play it at the end of the because CBS would put the show up later. You know, the show was on at 11:30. And so by like 2-3 in the morning, 3-4 in the morning, they had it up, and so we would play it at the end of the show. But yeah, that was fun. And Craig Ferguson, you know, one of the greatest talk show hosts of all time. Just the way he ran that show. There was no rules. You know, he flew by the seat of his pants, and you know, Josh Robert Thompson was so brilliant as he did so many voices and so many things. But as Jeff Peterson, the skeleton robot gay sidekick. My future ex-wife Dana DiLorenzo spent some time on that show. So it's a lot of great memories, but those are just personal ones that I really like. Now I'm talking about like actual classic, you know, talk show moments that stand out. What, Dan, is there anything that comes to mind?
You know, the one that kind of remember really just the being a cultural touchstone was Clinton on Arsenio Hall.
Playing sax.
Yep, that was right around the time I was starting to get aware of what late night talk shows were. Yeah. You know, I remember we, as kids, we both loved and hated Johnny Carson because on Friday nights we were able to stay up late, but our bedtime was the end of the monologue. So that is kind of like...
Oh, I see. So like the end of his monologue was always...
Like, all right. TV's off, time to go to bed, you know, so it was like exciting to see him because it meant we were up late, but it also meant like, we've got 10 minutes before I have to go to bed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my late night for a very long time. And then that hit, and then it's kind of like, oh, wow, look at this.
Yeah. Well, that was a really big moment culturally. And it was a really big moment for his campaign too, because Arsenio Hall, at the height of Arsenio Hall's popularity, he grabbed... You know, and he challenged Carson at that time, you know, like in the because Carson retired in May of 92. So at the tail end of the tail end of Carson's, you know, career, he was really being challenged by Arsenio Hall. And because Arsenio Hall, just think of you, because I didn't think Arsenio Hall was great. You know, his show. Well, I mean, I thought, you know, the show was okay, but it certainly had it had a really strong audience, a really big audience. It was an actual. At one point he really challenged Carson at the tail end of Carson's career, and something to be said for that. But what he did was he tapped into a younger audience. That was the key to the success of Arsenio Hall. Like, you were young at that time, and you know, and. A lot of, you know, Carson was older and he wasn't, you know, he was trying to make, you could see, if you look at the Carson reruns, which I do, he seemed a little out of touch in the last couple of years of his show. You know, in the early days and especially in the 70s, right on top of it, both politically and, you know, in terms of pop culture and stuff like that. But you could tell as he aged, he wasn't paying much attention to what was happening in the world of pop culture and stuff, and some of the jokes that clearly were written by, you know, staff members who were younger, trying to get Johnny to maybe jump into the pop culture that he hadn't really known about. You could tell the jokes were delivered by someone who probably wasn't aware, you know, probably didn't even get the joke. And that was abundantly clear, you know, late in his career. Meanwhile, Arsenio is doing stuff that's skewing really young, you know, and he had hip hop artists on and stuff that nobody was, you know, other people weren't doing. And, you know, like, and obviously it was racially mixed, you know, and a lot of people weren't doing that. And so that's why there was that time when Arsenio Hall was a major challenge. So when Clinton appeared on Arsenio Hall's show, that was a statement, you know, like a pretty big statement, not just to late night, but also, you know, clearly Clinton knew that there was a young audience, you know, watching Arsenio Hall. And that's how he ran his campaign. Clinton went after the young audiences, you know, appeared on MTV and stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons I think that he won the election, was the way he ran that campaign and got young people out there. And I think young people going out to vote, and we actually saw this just in the midterms, that makes a huge difference, you know, because, you know, a lot of young people don't care about voting. But when you get the young vote, you're going to get some success. And yeah, that moment was really memorable. That was a pretty incredible talk show moment right there. Bill Clinton running for president in the middle of his campaign, sunglasses on, playing saxophone with the band. You know, that was an image that everybody remembers. Everybody remembers that image about Clinton. So, and it was a key moment, I think, in the campaign. And I don't think I'm overstating it. I really think it was a key moment in the campaign. Let's see. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Nick. The talk show host was Johnny Carson. His guest was Ed Ames.
Oh yeah.
Ed Ames was talking about his new role on Daniel Boone.
Right.
He played an Indian, so Johnny Carson had him set up to show how his prowess throwing an axe at a
right
cutout, and Ed Ames complied. He threw an axe right between the cutout's legs, in
right.
which case Johnny Carson broke up, walked off the stage in hysterics.
Oh yeah, it is a classic moment. It's a classic Tonight Show moment. The axe going right to the crotch of the drawn out person on the wall, and it landed beautifully too, Donna. I mean, it was it couldn't have been more perfect.
He'd been practicing with his axe.
Yeah, that was funny. That was a great moment. And, you know, Donna, whenever they would do anniversary shows, when because the Tonight Show would obviously do anniversary shows every year, that was always a highlight that they played. Always. So.
Well, wouldn't it have been your highlight?
Oh, no question
too?
About it. Yeah. Okay, Donna, thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, that's a great one. That is a great one. Dan, you've seen that, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
yeah.
It's completely classic. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. 312-981-7200, and we'll get to the Tonight or the TV Guide and their thoughts on that. Let's take a break here first. And when we come back, we got some people on the line. If you want to jump in, what are some of the greatest talk show moments ever? And TV Guide put together a list. We'll fly through that and just, talk about talk shows and stuff. And then later on, talk about some of the best talk show hosts and get into the talk show guests and all that stuff. I think we're at a peak of quality in terms of talk shows. There's a lot of really, really good hosts on, and, they're doing some innovative stuff and monologues and stuff like that nowadays in the world of what's going on in politics. Really some challenging and some interesting stuff happening. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. That'll get you into the holiday spirit. A little Rat Pack Christmas for you. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, picking the Rat Pack. Of course, that's Frank. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I can call him Frank because I know him. yes, it's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! And you can make your requests right now. It's one artist, three songs. Get them in. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And that is the phone number to call if you would like to join us. TV Guide put together the greatest talk show moments of all time. And I want to hear from you guys. What are some of the most memorable, some of your favorite, some of the greatest talk show moments that you can remember? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's talk to Mark on WGN. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
My most memorable moment was when Bobcat Goldthwait that Jay Leno's chair on fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty...
Did Jay Leno immediately kick him off?
Yep. Jay Leno booted him, and he destroyed half the set and set it on fire, and they were like, yeah, Bobcat, you're done.
Yep.
that was a great one. Okay, thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Okay, Bobcat Goldthwait, man. You know, it was funny seeing him in Scrooge, because he's in Scrooged, and we screened Scrooge Tuesday night, the other night at the AMC Rosemont, and he was doing the Bobcat voice. You remember the Bobcat voice that he used to do in his stand up days and in Police Academy and stuff, in the Police Academy movies? And that's not at all how he talks. You know, I had Bob Goldthwait on the show a few years ago. I believe it was right after World's Greatest Dad came out. No, you know, I think it was after God Bless America, which we talked about with Joel Murray, because Joel Murray was the star of that movie. And he was doing, he was promoting his stand-up gig. He went back to stand-up. He did a 5-6 month tour, and he did Zanies. And so we had him on, and, he says that people were, you know, even this day, people are like, why aren't you doing the voice? And he's like, I'm, you know, that was 30 years ago I did that. I don't, that's not how I talk. That's not what I'm doing anymore. And he said that there's a portion of people who come and see him do stand up that are angry that he's not doing that Bobcat voice. And I mean, he clearly has, you know, he's obviously moved on, because he's an enormously talented writer and director now who does like really biting dark black comedies. And he's just not that guy, that, you know, that weirdo guy with the weird voice that, from the Police Academy movies. But yeah, it's funny. But he set the set on fire. Did you see that when he was on Leno?
I did. Yeah,
that was a great moment. Here's Trucker Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right. What's
up? What was it, back in the late '70s, early '80s? David Letterman had a daytime talk show.
Yeah. It was 1980. It was the summer of 1980. It only lasted one. It only lasted one season. It was the summer of 1980, because I remember I watched it every morning. It was on at 9 o'clock on NBC. I watched it every morning, because I was a huge. I'm still a huge David Letterman fan. But yeah, and so yeah. What was the moment that you wanted to point out from that show?
Now, do you remember when he had that guest on that was like in his late '90s, and he had a birthday party for him on stage?
No, I don't.
Invited him up there and had a big cake out there with like 90, over 90 candles.
Uh-huh.
And came out and started playing Happy Birthday, and then they started dropping balloons and confetti. And for whatever reason, the confetti dropped over the cake and set the stage on fire.
Oh, God. I don't remember that. And that show, by the way, that show, I believe, was live.
Because I remember seeing stagehands come out with their headsets and cords and stuff with fire extinguishers.
Oh, I would love to find that.
We'll be back after this break.
Yeah, I would love to find that. Man, that would be great to find on YouTube. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that stands out, is that every time, you know, people mention birthday cakes, you know, I think about that.
You think about that. That's great. Oh, maybe if we dig up on YouTube, we can find the footage of that. That's a great one. All right, Rich, thanks, buddy.
All right, yep,
take care.
Have a good day.
97 candles on the cake, and the confetti sets the stage on fire.
It is available on YouTube. There's not much great audio of it, but,
right. I mean, it's clearly a more visual thing, anyway,
right?
So it wouldn't really work.
Letterman appeared on Carson's show, and Carson played it back. And
oh, he did
talk about it.
You know, that I just want to say that morning show that Letterman had was great. Anybody watch that? 312-981-7200. Call in or text me, because I loved that show. I it was the summer of 1980. I was 15 years old, and I had discovered, you know, Letterman had been, you know, a regular on Carson's show. Carson really loved him, you know. Well, clearly he loved him. I mean, you know. But Carson had him on all the time, and I became a huge fan of David Letterman. And he did appearances on other talk shows, and he was doing stand-up. He was on variety shows and stuff. I became a huge Letterman fan. So when they announced that he was going to have a morning show, I mean, it's weird to give David Letterman a morning show. He's not, he wasn't, you know what I mean? David Letterman at 9 o'clock in the morning, every weekday morning. And he had, it was live. And I remember he had Edwin Newman, the news guy, sitting in the corner on the stage, and he would do like news updates during the show. So it was, and it was just, but this, it was like, you know, it was like a morning show because they were giving you information. Edwin Newman from NBC News was in the studio with him. They would go, they would do news reports and stuff with him and then cut back. So it was kind of set up like these loose morning shows that you see now. So it was groundbreaking in that regard. But he would do weird stuff. Like he would do the Letterman stuff that was more appropriate at 11:30 at night as opposed to 9 o'clock in the morning. And I think people were just like, what is this? What the hell is this guy doing? And he had, like, Edie McClurg was a regular on the show. He had, like, sort of regular cast members who would come out and do characters, and he would interview, like, people that, you know, that were made up. There were characters that Edie McClurg would play and other cast members would play. It was a really, and then he had, obviously, he had real guests on, and then, you know, like not real guests, but I'm saying celebrity guests, and he would have the regular people. You know, like regular people, like a 97-year-old guy and fake characters. I loved it, man. I watched it every morning, and it's weird to go back and see because I've seen some of the footage of it. Just to look at Letterman, how young he was, just you know, compared to well, he looks like a lunatic now, which is God bless him with the crazy beard and everything. But that was when I really became you know kind of obsessed with Letterman, and then it wasn't until about a year later that he got the late night show, and that's obviously when it took off. That's because that was more of his element. He was in his element at that time. 9 o'clock in the morning was again not a good time for Letterman. I thought it was a great show, but it just lasted the summer of 1980. I watched it every single morning. Okay, let's take a break. We got the news coming up. If you guys want to jump in with any of this, Letterman in the morning, and we've got some of the most classic moments, greatest talk show moments in history, and we're going to discuss all of that. We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. News after this. See now. I think Vic would agree with me. This is how you sing Jingle Bells.
That's right.
That's how you sing it. Not the way Babs sang it yesterday when we listened to it. Sammy Davis Jr., everybody. Vic, you would agree. Great version of Jingle Bells.
100%.
Yeah.
You show a little respect to the original song.
Exactly.
You depart too much, and you get what we talked about yesterday.
Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, with the Rat Pack completing his Triple Play Thursday request. Jingle Bells with Sammy. Yeah. Triple Play Thursday. Get your request in now. One artist, three songs here on 720 WGN. Dan, I don't know if you've seen my... You know, I never put a picture of myself on my regular Facebook page, not the show's page, just like my regular you know personal page. I put up the scene. Have you seen it?
I have, yes.
The yogurt scene from Real Genius, and I don't know if you've gone back, but everybody is like throwing quotes now from the movie.
People, I did see that. Yeah.
People love that movie. This is Real Genius, by the way. And if you have not seen Real Genius, I mean, I think it's a classic personally. And that's another movie. It did okay at the box office when it came out, but and again, like you know, you and I are passionate fans of that movie. Like that is really, like I adore that movie. Vic, have you seen?
Count me in with you too because I love that movie.
It's the best, and you know, and Esmeralda is you know who was on the show here, also a huge fan. We could be like the radio show that has the team that loves Real Genius the most in
there
any radio and of any radio show. But I love the fact that I just put that picture up there and bam, people just start. First of all, people are making comments, you know, about how much they love the movie. And then, of course, my friend Scott Oaken put up, hey, Airborne. He put that line up. Tony Award winning David Cromer put up a line. People love that movie. And the one guy, one of my friends on Facebook put the whole description of that dream where they're throwing little pickles at him. Why am I the only one that has that dream? He put the whole thing up on my Facebook page. Now, if you've not seen Real Genius, truly an absolute classic, one of the funniest movies of the 80s, and Val Kilmer is amazing in it. So anyway, I wanted to point that out, Dan, because I know
it's pretty great.
I thought you'd appreciate that. Okay, we are talking about classic moments from talk shows over the years, and was somebody, our buddy Trucker Rich called in with one of the great moments from David Letterman when he had a morning show back in the summer of 1980. And John is here. Hey, John.
Hi, Nick. I used to work at an NBC affiliate in Davenport, Iowa. It's the same station where Spike Odell worked before he came to WGN.
Yeah.
And I remember that David Letterman show in the morning. I think it might have replaced Chico and the Man reruns that they were running. But he used to have some really great skits on it, and like you said, it was a pretty short-lived show.
Yeah.
And I remember around this time, one time, he had all these different Christmas items that were kind of wacky, and he had like an old man face. It was like a kind of like a Santa Claus, but it was like an old man with no teeth, and it would spit water out. And he started laughing about that. He really got carried away.
Yeah. Now that I really enjoyed that show.
I think he had Grace Slick as a musical guest on.
Yeah.
She had left the Jefferson Airplane, and she put out an album on RCA. It was called Machines, and she performed the song live on there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something really bizarre about David Letterman, though. My AV teacher at the high school I used to attend, who looked like Les Nessman, went to college with him at Ball State in Indiana.
Yeah.
And he had him in a class where they had to do some kind of presentation because David Letterman wanted to be the weatherman at the TV station on the college campus. And this teacher said that he did something really wacky, like he put tornadoes all over the state of Indiana on the weather map.
Yeah, he was he's a character. John, thank you.
Okay, right, talk again, Nick.
See ya. Here's Stephen Galesburg also wanting to talk about Letterman the meteorologist. Remember those days, Steve?
Yeah, he was close, but when he got canned in Indianapolis, it was for telling people they had hail the size of canned ham.
Right. That's right.
And that's how I ended up on a late night show giving away canned ham to the audience.
That's right. That's so. I totally remember that now. Yeah, they got a hail the size of canned hams. Man, he's the best. Steve, thanks, man.
All right, thanks.
Got some texts coming in. We're talking about the greatest talk show moments of all time. 773, Bill Murray spray painting Letterman's desk on his first CBS show. Yeah. It, you know, when we talk, maybe a little bit later on, we're going to talk about great talk show guests. Murray. I mean, come on, man. Bill Murray, especially on Letterman. Especially on Letterman, because they got along really, really well. But you could always count on Bill Murray, man. Megan, how about Drew Barrymore flashing Letterman in 1995? Yeah. I love that she went on Colbert and talked about it not too long ago. It's always going to be remembered for how random it was. Yep. 301 says, two moments from Carson when Dragnet's Jack Webb did the Cleveland's Claude Cooper's Copper Clappers bit. That is one of the best bits ever. Dan, have you ever seen the Copper Clappers bit?
I have not.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. Two, when Johnny, Ed, and Doc sang the 12 Things of Christmas My True Love Took From Me, because they were divorced. Those guys had a tendency to get divorced, Johnny, Ed, and Doc. And then 262 area code says, when Geraldo Rivera had a fight and got his nose broken by skinheads. Yeah, you know, Dan, you were probably really young when that happened.
I've seen a clip of it.
But, you know, I love that my favorite part of that. I mean, Geraldo, that was, you know, Geraldo was shameless, still is, you know. His show, you know, at that time it was like pre-Jerry Springer, but that was the kind of thing that Geraldo did. But, yeah, he had the skinheads on. They got into a fight and somebody smashed his face with a chair. But I remember that at the end of the episode, he was holding a baby. And talking about this is the future, you know, he's trying to do some sort of like final, you know, thought thing to reassure people that there are better people in the world than the skinheads he just spent an hour talking to. So he ends the show holding onto a baby, blood, his nose is plastered, he's completely, I'll never forget the image, he's got a baby and his face is completely mangled with a broken nose, and that's how that was the final image of that show, was broken-nosed, bloodied up, Geraldo Rivera holding a baby. Here's Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Nick? George Harrison on Dick Cavett. He was comparing the BBC to American TV about how boring American TV was because it had too many commercials.
Yeah. You know, Cavett's another one. He was a great, you know, I mean, he's still around, but he was a great talk show host. He really was. Like, really, really smart and really sharp. You know, he would ask really interesting questions. Dick Cavett is great. And he's still fantastic. But yeah,
he's on Decades.
Yeah, Decades. You can watch him on Decades. The reruns of the Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah,
the Dick Cavett show.
He was really witty.
He was. He's still sharp as a tack, man. Dick Cavett. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, man.
Yeah, those reruns of the Dick Cavett show. They for a while they replaced my reruns of Johnny Carson because Antenna TV only apparently bought 365 episodes of Johnny Carson, went through them the entire year of 2016, and now they're just showing them over again. And I just don't understand why, because there is a vast amount of tonight shows that they can get a hold of with Johnny Carson. And that was like my morning ritual. You remember, I would get home every morning and I would watch Carson, and then I would like report on the episode. I would like kind of grade the episode. And then when they started the reruns again, I was like, oh man, come on. So I went to Cavett. I went over to Decades and started watching Cavett. Not quite as fun, you know, but he had great guests on, and I'm sure that he's mentioned in the greatest talk show moments. They say the number one talk show moment here, according to TV Guide, and we want to hear from you guys. The most memorable greatest talk show moments of all time. 312-981-7200. This is a great one. Bette Midler bids farewell to Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show. A day from retirement, the king of late night was serenaded by the divine Miss M, who chose the great boozy classic One for My Baby and One More for the Road. The host was near tears. So was Midler, who fled the set immediately after her song. You try watching it while bawling like a baby. Absolutely true. I got to say, though, you know, that whole week, the week that he retired, was amazing. He had incredible guests on, obviously. You know, when a legend like Johnny Carson is going to retire, you know, he's going to backload it with some really amazing guests. And that whole week was spectacular. And I have it on VHS somewhere. I taped it. Remember VHS, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
I taped it. I taped every, because, you know, I kind of like Johnny Carson. He's kind of one of my heroes. And so I taped every episode that week. I had all five episodes. The final episode is just Johnny. There were no guests. It was just Johnny talking, and they played clips from the past. And then the last 4 minutes of that episode, crying like a baby, because it's Carson saying goodbye. And then he walks off the stage, and it's just an empty chair in front of that iconic curtain where he would do his monologue. I'm getting a little misty myself right now. But those are great. Those were great. That entire week. I'm sure that all of that stuff is available on the internet somewhere. But that entire week, May of 1992. When Johnny retired, and that episode with Bette Midler was unbelievable and just, you know, incredible. So, all right, let's take a break here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The phone lines are open. You can text us as well. We're talking about some of the greatest talk show moments of all time. I happen to really love talk shows, and I watch. I think that's the thing I watch the most on TV. Like the late night guys, I tape them. I watch them in the morning, you know. And I like, you know, some of the daytime stuff, too, but I never really get the chance to see that stuff because I'm, you know, sleeping. But the late night guys I watch pretty much regularly every morning when I get home. And, yeah, from the night before. Like, oh, my God, Dan. Remember I was telling you on the way home that Saoirse Ronan was on, she was on Fallon.
Right.
Tuesday night. And so I watched it yesterday morning. First of all, I love her. I could listen to all. If I could just listen to Saoirse Ronan talking all the time, I would. If that was a possibility, I love her. And so they did. You know how they play charades. They did charades. That was really a lot of fun. And then the interview itself was really great. He gave her a quiz on Bridesmaids because it's like one of her favorite movies. He gave her a quiz on Bridesmaids. She nailed every question. And they weren't necessarily very easy questions. You would have had to see the movie a few times. She nailed every single one. Like added dialogue. And then, you know, I talked about Mary Queen of Scots, which is the new film that's coming out with her and Margot Robbie. And then they sang Fairy Tale in New York. I was just like beside myself. It was just, they had each had a pint of Guinness in front of them. They were wearing holiday scarves And it's my, that's my favorite Christmas song of all time. It's Fairy Tale in New York by the Pogues. It's my favorite Christmas song of all time. And to see, like, to, you know, Jimmy Fallon, whatever, but to hear her doing the female part on that was just great. So that's, that to me was a memorable moment, you know, at least this week. So, all right, 312-981-7200. Let's take a break. Triple Play Thursday continues. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. And that's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Emo picking Chicago with the song Dialogue. All right, 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we're talking about some of the greatest talk show moments of all time. We'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Next one on this list, the TV Guide, according to TV Guide, Oprah rolls out her fat wagon on the Oprah Winfrey Show. In a stunt she says she regrets to this day, a size 10 Lady O kicked off her Diet Dreams episode by dragging out a radio flyer containing 67 pounds of fat, equivalent to the amount of weight that she had lost. Of course, she gained it all back, but that's part of her appeal. Oprah may be the queen of all things, but she's also one of us. And that became like a really, that became a big moment, like when she wheeled out that cart full of fat. That's a classic moment. Here's one. Bill Maher goes too far on politically incorrect. On the first show after the 9/11 attacks, Maher slammed U.S. military policies, claiming we were cowardly for firing missiles at our enemies from 2,000 miles away. Outraged advertisers boycotted the show, and 17 ABC affiliate stations stopped airing it, and by May it was canceled, and then he moved to cable. You remember that, right, Dan?
Yes, I do, yeah.
I you know, here's the thing about Bill Maher. I run hot and cold on Bill Maher, mostly cold, but there are times when he's right on target, and he's very, very funny, and I think some of the stuff that he writes, you know, the political stuff that he writes is good, but he more often than not, I get annoyed with him. Hey, you know what Bill Maher's crowning achievement is, right?
What's that?
He's in DC Cab with Gary Busey and Mr. T. Yeah, go back and check that out. Bill Maher in DC Cab. You know, when I was hanging out with Gary Busey, he's like, I don't even remember making that movie. he was all hopped up on Go Juice at that time, having a little fun with drugs. And he's like, I don't even remember making that movie. Like, you did. You're in it, man. Trust me. He's like, I think I weighed 500 pounds. All right, let's go back to the phones. Here's Joanne on WGN. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Hi.
I just tuned in, and Johnny Carson and Ed Ames with the axe throwing.
Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah.
Then there was another one. He always used to have baby animals on.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a singer by the name of Jane Morgan who was on, and she was as bawdy as he was. And this lion cub had climbed on his head and peed.
Yeah. But that's the other thing. That's the animal segments were fantastic, and that's carried over. Everybody does animal segments now. Every late-night host does animal segments. I don't think Colbert does. No, Colbert does them, but I don't think he does them as often, because Colbert's show is more overtly political than a lot of the other ones. Fallon does it. Kimmel does it. Everybody. And it all started. I think that started with Steve. Well, like most things in talk show world, most things started with Steve Allen. He was the true innovator. Letterman admits that he stole like half of his act from Steve Allen. And Steve Allen was one of the greatest, first of all, one of the greatest talents in the history of entertainment. But the stuff that he did on his talk show, on his late night show, is still done today. But I got to say, you know, it's fun to see the animals on all the talk shows and how they react. Nobody reacted better than Carson. Nobody reacted better. And yeah, and he got urinated on, vomited on by animals all the time. And why am I blanking on the woman from the San Diego Zoo that used to be on? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. I'm an idiot. But he used to have like
Joan Embry.
Yes, Joan Embry, of course, Joan Embry. He used to have her on all the time, and the animal stuff was golden. It's just a great bit. But Carson, nobody reacted funnier. I mean, you know, like it's funny to see Fallon. Like they had an aardvark on. You know, the Steve Irwin. His kid is 14 now, and he's right. Got his own show on Animal Planet, and he's now in. He's like in charge of one of the zoos in Australia, And he came on Fallon's show like a couple of weeks ago, brought out an aardvark and all kinds of stuff, and the aardvark was sticking its nose in Jimmy Fallon's crotch and stuff. Like, that's funny. But like, but the reaction that Fallon had was fine, but nobody did it better than Carson, you know, which is the case for a lot of things. But the animal segments were always gold. Joanne, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Here's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'll mention two quick things. The first one was poor Dick Cavett interviewing a dead man. That was unique.
Yeah.
But the thing I really loved was, even though Mike Douglas wasn't, Michael Douglas, you know, wasn't as clever or everything, he had something so unique in having his guests on for an entire week.
Yeah, they would be like co-hosts. They would be on the show for, he would have like a guest that would be on for the entire week. And the most memorable one, Paula, if you remember, was when John and Yoko were on.
They
were on for the, it was, and it's just so surreal because Mike Douglas is as far removed from John Lennon as you can possibly get. And to see them on the show, and they did like all these, you know, because, you know, Yoko Ono, you know, liked to do performance art and stuff. And they did all these weird things that clearly Mike Douglas was like, what the hell is happening here?
But that's so special.
Yeah.
Among all the different things. I happen to have fallen madly in love with Richard Harris during that week, and to this day still play MacArthur Park. So it gave you a great insight into the people that he had as guests.
Agreed. That was a unique touch that Mike Douglas brought to the daytime talk show world. It was great. Paula, thank you.
Nighty night.
Okay. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we've got more talk show moments to talk about, some great ones right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! That's one artist, three songs. Emo requested Chicago. That's only the beginning. Hey, we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. And we're talking about the greatest talk show moments of all time, and talk shows and that you remember, stuff that you remember. And we would love to hear from you and what you think. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Dan, we were talking about Mike Douglas before the break. And Mike Douglas, you know, was a pretty innocuous guy. He would sing standards, you know, before the show, and, you know, he had pretty good guests on, and then sometimes he had really crazy and interesting guests. Like I said, that week that he did with John Lennon and Yoko Ono was really crazy. Like, and he was just, he was out of his comfort zone, you know, because Yoko obviously performance artist, so they started doing weird things, like they would call random people and just say, "I love you." And like Mike Douglas was clearly like, but this is, I have a really strong memory of this. Mike Douglas had Mo Howard on, in the 70s, right before he died, before Mo Howard died. And again, you know, obviously the Three Stooges are seminal for most people and me included. And he was on, and he had, you know, the Mo haircut, but it was all gray. You know, and he was old man Mo. And that the week's guest, the co-host that week, was Donny Osmond. And so I just vividly remember, I don't remember much about it, but I vividly remember him like smashing Donny. They did a bit on the stage where it was like they would do Three Stooges stuff, and it was all like on Donny Osmond. So he was like smashing Donny Osmond with a hammer. He was slapping him, poking him in the eyes and stuff. And, you know, here's like old man Mo just slapping Donny Osmond around. And I always remembered that. I don't remember anything else about like the interview or any of that stuff, but I just remember Donny Osmond getting smacked around by Mo Howard in the 70s. That was on the Mike Douglas show. We got some texts coming in. 708 area code says, I used to love watching Letterman work the drive-thrus at local fast food restaurants. That was always funny. Always funny when he was working the drive-thrus. Fantastic. Doc in Kansas City says, Hugh Grant's Tonight Show appearance right after the prostitution arrest. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 331 area code says, what about when Letterman would have Richard Simmons on his late night shows? Yeah, he was terrible to Richard Simmons. I remember, I think Richard Simmons came out, I think he was dressed like a chicken or something. And Letterman went after him with a fire extinguisher and started blowing the fire extinguisher on him. Oh, man. 765 area code says, I loved David Letterman's morning show. I watched it every morning that summer, too. Yeah, I did. Summer of 1980. Every single morning, 9 o'clock, I'd watch Letterman's show. 630 area code, Warren's Yvonne's last time on Letterman. Enjoy every sandwich. Yeah. Letterman was the biggest Warren Zevon. Letterman is the biggest Warren Zevon fan in the world. And, you know, Paul Schaefer had to be out a couple times a year, or, you know, or maybe once a year. I think it was, you know, I think it was when, because he's the bandmaster for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, I think it was that he would take that time off, like right around the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Letterman would always have Zevon be the leader of the band. Like, he would bring Zevon on. And Zevon was, you know, obviously Zevon was dying of cancer. And Letterman had him on. And it was amazing. It was amazing. 773 area code says, Graham Norton on BBC is the best talk show host. Check him out on YouTube. No, I got BBC America, and I watch Graham Norton every Friday. He's on every Friday. And I think Graham Norton is great. I think he's great. And he... has all the guests come out and sit on the couch, you know, and Corden has copied that. James Corden has copied that on the Late Late Show. He has whatever guests he has. But the thing is, Graham Norton will have like amazing people on the couch. He'll have musical guests on all the time. He's really funny. I love Graham Norton. I think Graham Norton is great. If you have BBC America, he's on Friday nights at 10. Friday nights at 10. And they do segment his stuff, you know, a week later on YouTube. The thing is, like, BBC America is a week behind. So what we're seeing, like this, like tomorrow night on BBC, they did last week. So it's the show from last week. So it's a week behind. So the YouTube segments are already on YouTube. The segments from the Graham Norton show from last week are on YouTube. But I'm not going to watch them because I'm going to watch it Friday night. But yeah, no, Graham Norton is great. If you've not seen Graham Norton, you should. He's got a terrific show. All right, we got some people calling in at 312-981-7200. Here's Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
How about when Don Rickles broke Johnny's pencil box on his desk?
Yep. It was his cigarette box. His cigarette box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went across the studio and confronted him on the show.
Yep, absolutely. One of the most legendary moments. Dan, can we find that? Because I know we've played that before. But so what happens was, Dan, for what Paul is talking about, Don Rickles was the guest host the night before. And while Don Rickles was guest hosting, he broke the lid on Johnny's cigarette case, the cigarette box that he had on his desk for like 20 years, and Rickles broke it. So the next night, Johnny was back on the show, and you know, nobody told him. Rickles didn't say anything, and Johnny goes to pick a cigarette out of the box, and the lid was broken. He's like, "What the hell happened to my box?" They told him that Don Rickles did it the night before, and at the time, Don Rickles was doing this show called CPO Sharky, and they taped the show right across the hall from where they would do the Tonight Show. And Johnny went over and confronted him, walked onto the set with a microphone and a camera and confronted him about breaking the box. It's a classic moment, Paul. That's another one that they...
I got one more. When Krusty the Clown had his talk show.
Yeah.
And he had the animals on the show, and there was a monkey on his head.
Right.
And he said, why do they call it a urine monkey?
Exactly. Why do they call... He goes, why do they call it a... Urine monkey. Yeah.
That
was great. Paul, okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. All right, so we have the audio of this. This is the cigarette box incident that took place on the Tonight Show. This is hilarious.
Uh-oh. What the hell happened to this?
Well, as long as you've seen what happened.
You know how long I've had the cigarette box? On his desk.
You brought that up from New York City?
I brought this from New York. What on earth?
It happened last night.
Who?
Don Rickles.
I did not see the
show
last
night. Don Rickles did it last night.
Are you putting me on now?
No. Don Rickles did it last night on the show.
What the hell did he do with it? The wood is broken. That's an heirloom.
Well.
Look, I've had that box from the seat where I sit here and I get rid of my pencils during the show to keep my sanity.
Well, I know.
I have
haven't broken that box. And
Don Rickles.
How did he do it? What did he do?
Well, he was having a fit, you know, and he.
How could you tell? How could you tell? I just saw him in makeup, getting ready to tape that FPO Harky, or whatever.
CPO Shark.
CPO Shirky.
No, I don't know. He told a joke and it didn't go well, and he got upset, and he did a number.
Is he in?
He hit it. He hit it with his hand.
Is he taping now? What?
He's taping across the hall. CPO Shark.
Can I get over there? Can I get over there? Be right back. Just follow me. Is he in studio? Are they taping? Are they on the air? I don't give a damn if they're on the air. Open it up. Rickles. Rickle, hold. Stop the taping. Stop the taping. Somebody broke my cigarette box. Come here.
I don't believe this.
Come here. We're taping. I just started the show. I picked my box up off my desk that I've had for 9 years. My box is broken. They told me you broke it on the show last night.
Well, I really...
You big dummy! Hang him.
What?
You're right. Were you in the middle of something?
No, I was just hanging around waiting for a ship to come in.
Did you break this box?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Do you know how long I've had this box on the show? About 9 years. Well, I brought this out from New York. Look at this. That is very expensive.
That's a darn shame. I'd give it to Tony Randall for a wedding gift.
And I want to know what you plan to do about this.
Well, I plan to wrap your hand in it. What do you want from me?
No, I'm sorry to come over and interrupt your show, but when I saw this, I got so incensed.
All right, it's millions of dollars. What do you care?
What do you mean? What are you doing?
That's yours. I'm just punching away here with six people trying to stay alive. That's
all. Millions of dollars? What are you doing with the money? This show goes like the others. You're out of work come January. Well, I will expect a very expensive trip. Something to replace this.
A wonderful, large, wonderful, beautiful x-ray of your lungs.
Look, I didn't mean to interrupt your taping here because I know you're in your big dramatic scene.
And you know, in your position today, you really are one of the biggest guys in the business.
I want
so help me.
I want my
next Christmas. I'm going to make sure a tree drops on your head. No, but I'm sorry about the box.
Well, so am I.
I will come up with something.
Well, I hope so.
But just keep me on your show. You mean so much to me.
Certainly. No. Don't humble yourself in front of these people. Don't humble yourself in front of them. I want something back. Okay, carry on.
Help me.
Carry on. Good seeing you.
Johnny Carson.
They know who I am.
That's the best part. That's the best part. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Carson. They know who I am. Classic stuff. Rickles, man. Unbelievable. You know, when Don Rickles passed away, Jimmy Kimmel did a beautiful tribute to him. Because Jimmy Kimmel was really close with Rickles. He had Rickles on a bunch of times, and they were friends, and they went to dinner a lot and hung out at the houses, and he became very close friends with Don Rickles. And when Rickles passed away, you're talking about memorable moments on talk shows, Kimmel's monologue that night was pretty amazing. Like, he completely choked up, and he's an emotional guy, Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know how many times. Can we count how many times Jimmy Kimmel's cried on his show? And for good reason. He's an emotional guy. But that was a really, it was a wonderful moment on Kimmel's show when he did a tribute to Rickles, who was a legend, of course. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more memorable talk show moments to talk about. And we want to hear from you. Talk and text at 312-981-7200. That's a great song, too. Those are three great, great Chicago songs Emo picked right there. Saturday in the Park, Chicago. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. That's a one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. Also, that's the phone number, 312-981-7200, to call or to text your favorite TV show or TV talk show moments of all time. Here are a couple more from the TV Guide thoughts. Katharine Hepburn redecorates the Dick Cavett Show. The notoriously bossy movie legend showed up in Cavett's studio, still not sure she wanted to be interviewed. She rearranged the furniture, griped about the carpet, and wanted the set painted a different color, not knowing Cavett, ever the imp, had a camera rolling the whole time, and it's utterly fantastic. Wow, I have never seen that. That must have been great. Oh, they've got John and Yoko on here for the Mike Douglas Show for that week. Mike Douglas called this transcendental hoot, quote, probably the most memorable week in all my years on the air. Very cool. How about this? Jimmy Kimmel Live, I'm blanking Ben Affleck. We can't remember who won the Academy Award that night, but we'll never forget Jimmy's hilarious post-Oscar rebuttal to then-girlfriend Sarah Silverman's video, I'm blanking Matt Damon. Harrison Ford, Cameron Diaz, Affleck 2. Tastelessness was never so all-star awesome. But by the way, the interview that was mentioned earlier, the Hugh Grant interview that someone texted in about, the Hugh Grant interview after the prostitution bust, the first question to Jay Leno was, what the hell were you thinking? And that's a completely valid question, because at the time he was with Elizabeth Hurley. What the hell is wrong with you? Have you seen Elizabeth Hurley? Yeah. How about this? The O.J. Simpson Bronco chase began during Larry King Live. So Larry King had that going. I didn't know that because I was watching a really terrible play when that whole thing when that whole thing happened. Here's Barb on WGN. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you remember Ernie Kovacs?
Absolutely. Yes.
I loved watching him when he would have on the Nairobi Trio.
Yeah, the Nairobi Trio. It's basically three guys in gorilla masks playing a song and bopping one of the guys on the head with a stick.
I think Ernie Kovacs is the one with the drumsticks bopping everybody around.
Yeah,
that's
Ernie Kovacs. Ernie Kovacs is the one. Now, here's a little tidbit for you, Barb. Do you know who one of the members of the Nairobi Trio was?
Wasn't it Strother Martin?
No. Jack Lemmon.
Was it Jack Lemmon.
It was Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon was underneath one of those gorilla masks, and nobody knew about it. Like, they never said anything. But Jack Lemmon and Ernie Kovacs were really good friends. And so he did that bit on Ernie Kovacs' show, and he was one of the gorillas. Jack Lemmon was...
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic piece of trivia, and so I just love. I love Ernie Kovacs. He was great.
Oh, I did too. I really hated that when he got killed in that car wreck, because a lot of comedy went out the window there.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, we were talking about as a talk show host, Steve Allen was a great innovator. Ernie Kovacs changed television. Like, the stuff that he did, he was a total innovator and did stuff that no one has ever tried to do since. He was just nuts. It was nuts. He was crazy and enormously talented. By the way, Barb, have you ever seen the TV movie where Jeff Goldblum played him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. And he was terrific in that role. So, yeah.
Who played Edie Adams in that?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember Goldblum. Maybe we can look that one up. But anyway, Barb, thank you for the call, okay?
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Ernie Kovacs really wasn't a talk show host. His show was like weird sort of sketch comedy stuff and like him, you know, musing about things. He was a brilliant man, Ernie Kovacs. Brilliant. 224 area code says, Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters on a Carson doing improv and making Carson lose it. You know, whenever Robin Williams was on Carson's show, he would always have two full segments. And Carson would barely get in a word edgewise, and Carson doubled over with laughter for the entire time Robin Williams would be out there. And I do remember the night that Jonathan Winters came out, and the two of them were on the couch together, and Carson just going nuts. 815 area code, Dick Cavett had fascinating conversations with his guests, and I really love the show with Jimi Hendrix. And by the way, that's all on YouTube, 815 says. 630 area code says, I remember the Karnak bit on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show where the answer was sis boom ba, and in the envelope the question was, what does an exploding sheep sound like? Sis boom ba. So yeah. All Karnak, always great. Always great. Fantastic. Okay, let's take a break. We got a lot more talk show moments to talk about, and if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. You know, Dan, you knew that when I was a kid, I played guitar.
Yes.
I took lessons, and I played guitar from around the age of 10 till about like 13, 14 years old. And then I preferred drums at that point. But that was one of the songs I loved to play on guitar, was Wish You Were Here. Taxi driver Bob requesting Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, which means we're going to hear two more Pink Floyd songs, which also makes me happy. I love Pink Floyd. Triple Play Thursday, yeah! 312-981-7200 for Talkin' Text. We are talking about great and memorable moments from talk shows, and there are plenty. 312-981-7200. 815 area code says, what about Late Night with Tom Snyder? That would be the Tomorrow Show, by the way, with Tom Snyder. That was what that was called back in the day. The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder, when Waylon Jennings walked out leaving the chair empty. I do not remember that. You don't want to make Waylon Jennings mad, man. That's not a good thing. No. How about some of the other ones for from the TV Guide thing? How about You Get a Car, You Get a Car, You Get a Car from Oprah? Classic moments. Tiny Tim weds Miss Vicky on the Tonight Show. That was like the highest rated episode of the Tonight Show up until that moment. Up until that time was the by far like ridiculous high ratings on that. Everybody watched that. I'm not sure why. I guess it was obviously a pretty great stunt, you know, to do on the air. But I don't think I ever understood the Tiny Tim thing. I never really understood Tiny Tim. I mean, he was everywhere. He was everywhere. He had Tiptoe Through the Tulips was obviously the big song, and he was such a weird dude. So I guess that's why, you know, people had him on. He was on Laughing a lot. He was that time, you know, late 60s, you know, early 70s, Tiny Tim was everywhere. And I don't understand it. How about this? Phil Donahue dons a skirt for a Donahue segment on drag queens. See, that was around the time, you know, when on the other channels there, Geraldo was getting smashed in the face with a chair by skinheads. That was the kind of thing that was happening on the daytime TV. So, how about this? On The Late Show in 2009, David Letterman admits to affairs with coworkers and says he's been targeted by an extortionist. That was a very, you know, that was a pretty memorable moment and an interesting way for him to handle, you know, what was going on. He was being extorted, and so he confronted it on the air and said, yes, I have. I've had affairs with coworkers. And Oprah rants against the beef industry and ends up in court, but she meets Dr. Phil back in 1996. I do remember that. In 2010... Bill O'Reilly was on The View, and he blamed all Muslims for 9/11, meaning that Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg walked off the set. I've seen that footage. Steve Allen launches his hugely popular Man on the Street bit on The Tonight Show back in 1954. I mean, again, like I was saying earlier, Steve Allen is responsible for so much of the innovation in late night talk. That's still being done today. A same-sex secret admirer stunt on the Jenny Jones Show backfires and ends in murder. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I went to a taping of the Jenny Jones Show once. It was a nightmare. You know, you can't leave, like, once you get in there. I've told this story before. The reason why I have such a strong memory of it was we went to a taping of the Jenny Jones Show on the same day of the first bombing of the World Trade Center back in 93, 94, 93 or 94, whenever the first bombing of the World Trade Center happened. Because when we got out of the taping, NBC News was down, you know, like the newsroom downstairs. You could see through the glass. You can see the newsroom. And everybody was running around, and there was footage of the World Trade Center, and we didn't know what was going on. And finally, we watched a little bit of it, and that's, I just remember that being associated with that. But the Jenny Jones thing was just ridiculous. She didn't ask any questions that weren't written on a cue card held up by assistants. I'm not kidding. She did nothing. It could have been a robot, you know, doing it. Every single question was written for her by someone. There were like three people with cue cards that were standing off camera, who would take, you know, who would write questions, and they came in every single question. She didn't generate one question out of her own brain. And so you can't leave. We get in there, and they have like a warm-up guy come out, which is the case with a lot of, you know, a lot of TV shows and talk shows and stuff. They have a warm-up guy come out. Usually, sometimes it's a warm-up comedian and all that stuff. So the warm-up guy comes out, and, you know, he's doing the thing, and you're not allowed to leave the taping, and, you know, unless it's some sort of emergency. And then the topic, he's like, today's topic is, I don't like my daughter's black boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, God. You know what I mean? Immediately, I'm like, why are we here? Why are we here? And the next hour was just torture. It was as bad as you could possibly think it was. And there was nothing interesting happening behind the scenes because, you know, the only thing interesting was that she didn't ask one single question that wasn't written for her by someone else. It was terrible. Hey, by the way, that brings up a point. Has anybody ever gone to a taping of a talk show? And which ones have you gone to? 312-981-7200. Yeah. The only tapings that I've been to, I went to Jenny Jones, which was not great, but there was a kid show. Back in the day, that people will remember, if you're from Chicago, of course, Bill Jackson is an enormously talented guy. It was BJ and the Dirty Dragon was the show, and then they had the Giggle Snort Hotel. And this was an integral show of my childhood. I mean, and Bill Jackson is an enormously talented guy, and he's got a website where he's got, you know, tons of old footage from BJ and the Dirty Dragon and. And the Giggle Snort Hotel. I went to a live taping when I was a kid. They had a live taping of the BJ and Dirty Dragon show, and it was at Marina Tower. And that's where that's where WFLD, if I remember correctly, I think it was WFLD, they broadcast from Marina City. So I remember my dad taking me to see BJ and the Dirty Dragon. I was so excited. To see, you know, BJ and the Dirty Dragon live, and I remember sitting in the audience, and at one point the bad guy on the show, because there was a bad guy on the show, you know, a character, bad character guy on the show, and he was Dr. Doompuss, that was his name, Dr. Doompuss, and he's a scary looking guy, you know, obviously it was an actor with like a mask on, you know. And but that was Dr. Doompuss, and he had like a cape. And if I remember correctly, he had a top hat. But he was a creepy looking guy. He was the bad guy. He was the scary guy on BJ and the Dirty Dragon. And so we're at the taping, and he came out. Dr. Doompuss, the guy in the Dr. Doompuss costume, came out, and he walked through the crowd. He walked through the house, and then like he looked at me and pointed at me, and I remember completely freaking out. Like, completely freaking out. Like, oh, my God, Dr. Doompuss pointed at me. And it was, like, one of these things, like, I And just, like, I was like a little maniac because Dr. Doompuss pointed at me. And I'll never forget it. I never forgot it. I don't know how old I was. I was probably nine maybe. And I never will forget Dr. Doompuss pointing at me. It was a traumatic experience, very, very traumatic experience in my early youth. So, you ever see this? This is one that they mention on the TV Guide thing. You ever see Rosie O'Donnell attacking Tom Selleck over gun control?
I do remember seeing that.
Incredibly uncomfortable. Incredibly uncomfortable. And Rosie O'Donnell would not stop. I felt bad for Tom. I felt bad for Tom Selleck. I thought that was kind of. I thought that was really. You know, I thought that was really unprofessional of Rosie O'Donnell. I really did. And that was. It's incredibly uncomfortable. I mean, it's on YouTube, but I don't recommend. I mean, I wouldn't recommend watching it unless you want to feel uncomfortable, because it'll certainly do that for you. All right, let's break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. We're talking about some of the great moments in talk show history, some of the most memorable. And also, if you've ever gone to a talk show taping, we'd love to hear your story. 312-981-7200. One of my favorite songs of all time ever in the history of anything. And it also contains my favorite guitar solo ever by David Gilmour. Comfortably Numb. Man, I love that song. Taxi Driver Bob, nice choice, buddy. Pink Floyd, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. You know, Dan, when The Wall first came out, it was life-changing. I was obsessed with it. 15-year-old kid. I played it nonstop. I can't even explain to you how much I loved Pink Floyd The Wall. The follow-up to Pink Floyd The Wall was The Final Cut. That was in 1983, and I've told you this before. I ditched school so I could go to Flipside Records and get it as soon as the doors opened. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. I was a senior in high school, and I skipped school so I could go buy The Final Cut by Pink Floyd at Flipside Records. Never forget it. Then I went home and listened to it instead of going to school. I skipped school, went to buy Pink Floyd The Final Cut at Flipside, went home, listened to it all day long. Totally worth skipping school. Again, Dan, you know how good I was senior year in high school.
That's right.
I had my priorities straight.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah. Instead of going to high school and doing my studies and doing my homework, I skipped school so I can listen to Floyd. That's the kind of student I was. coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has your opening bell. And coming up in just a few minutes, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We are talking about some of the greatest moments in talk show history. We got a whole bunch here. I have a lot of fun remembering some of these great things that happened on talk shows. And we're also opening it up to if you've ever been to a taping of a talk show. We would like to hear your story. 312-981-7200. Here's Mitch on WGN. Hi, Mitch.
Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
So I don't think this qualifies for the greatest moments in television.
Uh-huh.
But in 1980, my wife and I were in California for our honeymoon, August of 1980, and some young lady or someone came up and said, "Hey, would you like two free tickets to go see taping of a new and exciting television show?"
Ooh, okay.
We said, "You know, yes, we would," and. Had we known, we might have skipped.
Yeah.
But we went to the Captain and Tennille show, which and the guests were the amazing George Kennedy, who I actually remembered from the movie Airport.
Oh, sure, George Kennedy he's a legend. George Kennedy was a legend. Yeah,
he was a legend. And actually, I mean, it was quite interesting because we had never been to anything like that before, and then. The musical guest was KC and the Sunshine Band.
Wow.
And I do not remember whether or not we shook our booty. I could not tell you.
Wow, that's a great story. Hey, you want to come in and see?
Yeah, and here's where it turns a little pathetic. You know, in 1980, no one in 1980 that I recall had VCRs.
Right.
And so we were all excited to eventually watch this show that we had been at, you know, to see if for some reason they would mistakenly get us on camera.
Yeah,
We knew nothing about this stuff.
Yeah.
But the show was so popular that it aired at 1 a.m. is when that show came on. And so for about 3 months, and you never knew who was coming on.
Right.
It just said, Casey, you didn't know which show.
Yeah.
They didn't even print in the TV guide who was going to be on. It was that lame of a show. And so I set an alarm clock because we had a TV in our bedroom. And I would set it for 5 minutes early, you know, so the TV could warm up, and proceeded to watch the beginning of every single Captain and Tennille show. And I think it was like six or seven in when I finally woke my wife and said, "This is it. This is it." And we sat up And, you know, I think I jumped up and got glasses of milk or something, and we watched the show. And at one point, they had cameras in the back, and we saw the back of our head.
Oh, that's fantastic, Mitch. That was worth all that effort, right?
Yeah, and to this day, I think people still recognize the back of my head now and then.
That's great. Great story, Mitch. Great story.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
That's great. That's really funny. That's really funny. Here's Donald on WGN. Hi, Donald.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I was a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show sort of inadvertently because I had auditioned for producers on the phone. I was pursuing a theater career at the time. And it was sort of interesting because it was fun kind of going through the process. And then I went away to visit relatives on the Labor Day weekend. And I got back and the answering machine is filled with all kinds of messages. We've been trying to reach you. We've been trying to reach you. And I said, for what? The guy acted that was supposed to come on the show chickened out, and we need a white guy because it was a show about interracial dating. Mm. So they sent a limo for me, and I thought there might be some stuff in the limo, but there wasn't anything in the limo. It was just a plain old limo ride. And so we go from the far south side all the way to her Harpo Studios,
right.
And they throw me in the green room with the people, and it is really kind of awkward because what she does is she has producers that go over possible questions, so she has that in her hand because she doesn't want to meet you before the show.
Right.
So when we get on the show, it's like, oh, lights, camera, action! I'm the only white guy there, and I had dated a black woman, so I knew that, and I tried to make it soft soap it a little bit. Why do you know when she asked me why do you do this? Why did you date? And boy, I said, well, I could get a better looking black woman than a white woman. And everybody went, oh my God. After that, I sort of like toned it down and they took it into a very comedic realm, more like. But I didn't know what else really to say. So I remember seeing a show similar on the Phil Donahue show. So I was putting Donahue statistics for the rest of the show.
Oh, so you did your homework via Phil Donahue. That's and again, that's that time period when all the shows were doing very similar sort of topics. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, Donald, thanks a lot. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's some great texts here. 708 area code says, how Dean Martin flicking his cigarette ashes into George Goebel's cup without him knowing it on the Carson show. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. George Goebel. Lake Geneva Dan says, Carson and the potato chip lady. That's classic, too. Woman collects, she worked at a potato chip factory on the conveyor belt, on the line, inspecting the potato chips before they get bagged. And she collected potato chips that had weird and interesting shapes that would not end up making it, you know, because you would have to look at the potato chip to make sure it was okay to be bagged and sent out. So her job was to look at these potato chips. And so she had a collection, and she brought them on Johnny's show. And so she's pulling out one that looks like Abe Lincoln, and another one that looks like a fish, and another one, you know, she's pulling all these things out. And so Johnny had a bowl of potato chips under the desk, and without her knowing it, and she turned away to get another potato chip out of the bag, and Johnny took a regular potato chip, not one of hers, regular potato chip, and went and started chewing it, and she turned around mortified, because she thought that Johnny actually ate one of her potato chips that she had collected and held for so long. And then Johnny immediately had to, you know, because she got very upset. She was like really mortified and upset. So Johnny immediately had to go, no, 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 it was a joke. It was a joke. And he pulled out the bowl of regular potato chips. He's like, I swear to you, I didn't eat your potato chip. I swear it was a joke. And she was so upset. And that's classic. That's another one of those great moments from the Tonight Show. Peter in Decatur says, I have two. I didn't see it, but my mom saw Jack Parr walk out of his own talk show. Yep. And then I saw Tiny Tim get married on Carson. 906 area code said, Letterman had Leno on one night, and it was gut-splitting stuff. Hey, listen, before Leno sucked, he was very funny. You know, back in the day, in his early stand-up days and in the early days of Letterman, he killed on Letterman. He would come on, he was a regular guest. I mean, obviously, they were friends until the late-night wars happened. But Leno was consistently great. consistently great and funny and edgy on Letterman. 224 area code said the sis boom ba joke was written by Pat McCormick, who was Big Enos Burdett on Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah, he was a writer and he appeared on the Tonight Show pretty regularly. That's where he got his start. And not only was he in Smokey and the Bandit, he was in Scrooged. Yes. So, which we just saw him on the big screen. All right, let's take a break. We got the news coming up and then more great talk show moments and other memories. And if you went to a taping, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Hey, we're back, and it's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It is a Thursday morning, and we're talking about great talk show moments, like most memorable, greatest talk show moments of all time. And our phone number for talk and text is 312-981-7200. Also, if you've gone to a taping of a talk show, we would love to hear your story. I don't know if you're going to top Mitch's story about the Captain and Tennille Variety Hour. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We will have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play back. They've lost five in a row now. They play tonight, and I'm just upset. But we'll hear the Express coming up a little bit later on. We've got a bunch of texts here. 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, great talk show moment was Mark Summers and Burt Reynolds on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno in 1992. That's another one that's really uncomfortable to watch. They end up pouring water on each other. Because Burt was in a real bad mood. You know, he could be a little grumpy. Burt can be a little surly every once in a while. And he was, if I remember correctly, he was going through a divorce, I think, or he was having issues with his girlfriend, his wife at the time, which would be Lonnie Anderson. And then Mark Summers like brought that up at one point because Burt Reynolds kept interrupting he kept sort of insulting Mark Summers because Mark Summers was just, you know, Burt Reynolds was like, I don't know who this guy is. He hosts some stupid show on a kids network. And he let him know that he had no respect for him. It's really uncomfortable to watch. 301 area code, Morton Downey Jr. was the precursor to Jerry Springer. He was bombastic and rude and he smoked like a chimney. I used to watch Morton Downey show all the time. Smoked cigarettes the whole time, screaming in people's faces. It was huge, though. Like, in the late 80s, do you ever watch Morton Downey? You ever see Morton Downey show?
Just bits and pieces of clips.
It was huge. Everybody watched it. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. I mean, I watched that and laughed my ass off, because he would just, like, smoke and blow smoke into people's faces and scream at people he didn't like. He'd look right into the camera and scream, and it was ridiculous, but everybody watched it. Like, in the late 80s, that was the thing. 773 area code says, I went to a Craig Ferguson taping in L.A. It was wonderful. Oh, I'm jelly. I'm so jealous you went to a Craig taping. I also attended a taping of Man of the People at WGN Studios. Oh, yeah. Pat Tomasulo's show that you can watch on Saturday nights at 10 o'clock on WGN Channel 9. Yeah. 708 area code says, I went to a live taping of the Mike Ditka show. Somebody just went into my... What happened there? Was that you? Was it somebody? Okay, that was weird. Something just happened in my headphone.
Yeah, that's strange because there's nobody else by a mic.
There's nobody... Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Okay, that was interesting. Okay, anyway, I went to a live taping of the Mike Ditka show. It was an awesome experience. What Mike Ditka?
And the next text ties into it. Apparently, okay. The show with Johnny Morris.
815 area code says, I was in grade school and I went to the Mike Ditka show hosted by Johnny Morris, a memory I will never forget, in a time I will never forget. I don't remember that at all. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. 630 area code says, we went to an Oprah taping. Guests didn't show up, so Oprah took the entire studio audience to her restaurant for lunch. She stayed with us and visited every table. That's pretty cool. That's all right. That's pretty cool. 815 area code says, we went to two tapings of Phil Donahue. We went to a taping of a Phil Donahue show years ago. He had a meet and greet line after the show. My friend squeezed his cheek and said she loved him, and he did not like that. You don't want to squeeze Phil Donahue's cheek. Come on. All right. How about some of the other memorable moments here. Tom Cruise uses Oprah's couch as a trampoline. That was back in 2005. Jumping up and down on Oprah's show because he was dating Katie Holmes at the time. I think that may have affected the box office of War of the Worlds. That's the only thing that I can remember. It's the only thing that I can guess is that it didn't. People were not happy with him. But as I've said all the time, though, you know, he may be kind of a weirdo, you know. But that kind of behavior, like acting like a goofball and jumping up and down on a couch, that's normal behavior on Oprah's show. I mean, Dan, you ever see the sketch on that they did years ago on SNL where Maya Rudolph played Oprah? And it was like the taping of an Oprah show, and she was like, it was like Oprah's favorite things. And they kept cutting to the audience, and it was all women like having a heart attack and screaming. One woman giving birth in the middle of the one woman's head. Amy Poehler's head explodes. That's actually not far from reality. It's really, really not that far from reality. So, like, when everybody made a really big deal out of Tom Cruise jumping up and down on the couch, I'm like, have you ever watched Oprah's show? I mean, have you ever seen, you know, how people act on that show, especially the audience? I mean, I think he fed off the energy of the insanity that was already in that studio. Although Tom Cruise is a weirdo, I will attest to that, even though I'm a fan. I remember this when Dave Letterman returned to Late Night after 9/11, the first appearance. That was really amazing. That was really amazing. Very emotional. I remember this. Marlon Brando kissing Larry King on the lips, full on the lips at Larry King Live. This was in 94. At this point, Marlon Brando is already nuts. You know, he lost all semblance of sanity at that point in 1994. But yeah. Marlon Brando. How about Oprah ripping lying memoirist James Frey into a million little people? Nah, I see what they did there. Million Little Pieces on Oprah, because Oprah, she put that book in her book club. She did confront him, you know, big time on that show. I remember that. I didn't even watch Oprah's, but that became such a big news story, you know, that when he actually appeared on the show, I did watch it. On the Tonight Show, the Cheers cast gets tipsy in Boston after the show. Oh my God. Did you see that, Dan?
I did not.
Well, you were young. You were only 10 when Cheers went off the air. So they had the big Cheers finale, which is great. Is great. The final episode of Cheers, phenomenal. And so while that was airing, you know, they were going to go live to the bar in Boston, and Leno was going to interview them, and they were loaded. They were all loaded. They did nothing but drink during the... Because if I'm not mistaken, I think the Cheers finale was 90 minutes. So you can do a lot of damage in 90 minutes. And so, trust me, I know. So the entire cast, I mean, when they cut back, they were noticeably bombed. I mean, especially Kelsey Grammer. He was really smashed. And it was very entertaining. And Jay Leno was trying to, you know, find some sort of angle and some sort of control on it. But they were, you know, they described them as tipsy in this. They were more than tipsy. They were much more than tipsy. They were celebrating big time. You know, the big finale of one of the most successful shows ever. They were emotional. They were very emotional. Had a lot of cocktails. And I, you know, my guess is that every one of those cocktails was comped. That would be my guess. So that's more encouragement to continue drinking since you're not paying for it. But that was very entertaining, especially, you know, it seemed absolutely appropriate for Cheers to come to an end that way. Like to have this really beautiful, very funny, emotional, you know, finale that has a wonderful, wonderful final moment. And then they cut, and they're all, hey, oh, Bible, and they're all smashed. It couldn't have ended better. It couldn't have ended better. So I totally remember that. That was a very, very memorable moment on The Tonight Show. Okay, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love for you to join us. We're talking about classic TV talk show moments. 312-981-7200. And again, if you went to a taping of a talk show, we want to hear your story.
Merry Christmas, darling. We're apart, that's true. But I can dream, and in my dreams, I'm Christmasing with you. Holidays are joyful.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on a Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! And Michael in Iowa, the Carpenters' Merry Christmas Darling. Michael had requested Barbara Streisand yesterday and wanted to make up to it for us. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We've been having a lot of fun here talking about some great talk show memories and some incredible moments in talk show history. And also, some people have been texting and calling in about having gone to a couple of tapings of talk show. And we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 on both of those topics. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Good.
I got a classic for you.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman and Jerry the King Lawler on Letterman.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And obviously, you know, planned by both Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler, as we found out. But yeah, that was a classic moment. Jerry Lawler slapping Andy Kaufman. Kaufman coming back, starting to scream and swear, drop F-bombs, and threaten to sue Lawler and all of that stuff. And the great thing about that, Dave, was actually Letterman's reaction, like watching Letterman while this whole...
If I remember correctly, when they came back from the next break, I'm pretty sure you can't spill coffee on a guest.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Okay, Dave, thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
The Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler saga was really something. That was great. Another classic moment, obviously, on David Letterman's show was when Crispin Glover came on and had the weird clothes, the bell bottoms and the giant shoes, and he had a wig on, and then he almost kicked Letterman in the head, and Letterman walked off the set, and when they came back from break, Crispin Glover was gone. He was not there. Crispin Glover had left. They had kindly asked Crispin Glover to leave. How about this one? Speaking of drunk people, hang on, I got to sneeze.
Drunk people do a lot of sneezing.
Oh, man. So here's they follow up this one with Cheers. And then when Danny DeVito showed up on The View and he was annihilated, did you ever see the video of this?
I have not.
It's him. He has his own brand of limoncello. And I guess he wanted to show people the kind of effect that a bunch of limoncello can have on someone. And so he was on The View and he was bombed. He was clearly bombed. And what makes it even weirder, you know, The Tonight Show, that airs at 10:30, okay? And that would be 11:30 Boston time. So, you know, to show up drunk on the last night of a TV show at 11:30 at night is a little bit more appropriate than showing up on The View at like 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, completely bombed. But what they don't have here, Dan, you know who he was with all night.
Who was that?
Drinking limoncello. Clooney. He was with He was out with George Clooney. Tomorrow's show, Tom Snyder had a contentious chat with Johnny Rotten. I do remember that. Tom Snyder was an interesting guy. He had a very unique style and a very unique delivery. A lot of people remember Dan Aykroyd's unbelievable impression of Tom Snyder during the early days of SNL, And there's another thing that was fantastic. There's another bit because that was a regular impression that Aykroyd would do. He would do Tom Snyder. He would have the cigarette in his hand. He would have the inflection of the voice, the style with which he spoke. But one of the greatest bits that they did on Saturday Night Live was they had Jane Curtin on as Tom Snyder's mother. And she had the same hair. She had the cigarette and everything. It was basically Jane Curtin doing, an imitation of Dan Aykroyd's Tom Snyder. And it was hysterical. It was absolutely hilarious. How about when Madonna dropped the F-bomb 13 times, smoked cigars, and refused to leave Dave's couch on The Late Show? Man. I think that was the moment that cemented my love for Madonna. Now, that's not true. That happened years earlier, but it was one of those appearances that it was just classic. Absolutely classic. 1970 Dick Cavett Show. Salvador Dali, Satchel Paige, and Lillian Gish together. That's amazing. That really is amazing. The Merv Griffin Show in 1983 introduced Whitney Houston to the nation. How about Rosie interviews her idol Barbara Streisand in the Rosie O'Donnell Show? And, of course, the bizarre bearded Joaquin Phoenix apparent and apparent meltdown on The Late Show, which, of course, we talked about before, which turned out, of course, to be part of this stupid movie that they made, that Casey Affleck and him made. Phil interviews Marlo Thomas on Donahue and then Love Blooms. Oh, is that how they met?
You know, somebody just texted in that.
Oh, is that right?
How. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that they met on his show. That's pretty cool. Arnold Schwarzenegger announces that he's going to run for governor on The Tonight Show. That was in 2003. And then, of course, inevitably, about an hour later, somebody invented the Govinator. That was the term. How about Reege announcing his retirement on Live? Here's one. Dinah Shore meets David Bowie and Iggy Pop on Dinah in 1977. You got to love it when the straight-laced kind of unhip hosts have people like that on. That's why the whole John Lennon, Yoko Ono week appearance, the week-long appearance on Mike Douglas was so vastly entertaining. Mike Douglas had no idea what the hell was going on when they were on. So, let's see, we got some texts coming in. Mark says, Jay Leno had another animal expert, Julie Scardina of SeaWorld, always bubbly and adept and humorous with each animal's surprise behavior. Yes. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap this up with your phone calls and texts, talk show moments, and there you go. Okay, the news is up next.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey.
Said it before, I'll say it again. She had a voice of an angel, man. She had the voice of an angel. Karen Carpenter. Michael in Iowa requesting the Carpenters, and that's the Christmas song. 312-981-7200. By the way, do you know who wrote that song, Dan?
I do not.
It's my good friend Mel Torme.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, man, you know Mel Torme. No, Roy, I don't. I know of him.
Was it an egg salad or a chicken salad?
Tuna. Tuna salad. I recommended a tuna salad. Where can I get a tuna salad sandwich, kid? Mel Torme, man. Only Roy would bring Mel Torme 3 days in a row to the screening room to watch movies. It's fantastic. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about great TV talk show moments. And if you have some, 312-981-7200. We have yet another aggravating and annoying Blackhawks Express to play back. That'll be coming up in just a few minutes, and we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Here's Ruth on WGN. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth. Hi. I was just remembering when Johnny would go out into the audience, and he would try and stump Doc Severinsen, you know, with different songs.
Yeah.
And do you recall that when they would, seeing that maybe that he would get them and then these people would go and sing their songs?
Yeah, no, it was called Stump the Band.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was called Stump the Band, and it was Doc and Ed. Ed would be sitting next to Doc, and then they would make up a song. And then they would inevitably get it wrong.
That's right. I do remember Ed in there now that you say that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just all I had to
say. Okay,
thank you, Ruth. Okay, right. You're welcome.
Have a good morning. Bye. That's very funny. Stump the Band. Stump the Band was always one of my favorites. Because what they would do was, Dan, Johnny would go out into the audience and, like, talk to, you know, somebody in the audience, and then they would say the title of a song, and they were usually really silly titles. And they would cut to Doc and Ed, who were sitting right by the band on the bandstand, and they would say, "I think Jimmy over here on the trumpet knows that one." And then they would play like the song, and then like Doc Severinsen would sing. He and Ed would sing like made up lyrics, and then they would cut back to Johnny, and Johnny would ask the contestant, like, "Is that correct?" And they're like, "No, that's not correct at all." And then they would sing the song, and the band would join in with them. It was a classic bit. Stump the Band. Classic bit. So, we got some texts here. Wild Bill says, "I attended a Jerry Springer taping 15 years ago in Chicago. There was a guy you never see on TV who started all the Jerry chants and any heckling. During commercial breaks, guests on stage were well behaved. During taping, there were moments when it looked like the guests were suddenly realizing, oh yeah, this is where you're supposed to start fighting. They taped about 8 minutes of audience questions and admitted they edited it down to about 3 minutes of supposedly the best questions. They also admitted that they used audience reaction shots in ways that were not genuine, including splicing audience shots from a completely different show." Geez, that's shocking, don't you think, Dan? That's some of the technique that they used on the Springer show.
My good friend Mark, guess who occasionally contributes to Out of Context.
Yeah,
he was an intern on that show.
Oh, he was.
And I've never had a chance to talk to him too in depth about it, but I can imagine the stories. Yeah.
How long was he an intern there?
I think it was just like a summer gig. If
that's
I remember correctly.
Funny.
Yeah.
I bet he's got some great stories. Mm-hmm. I bet he's got some great. Now you know that it's that he's not doing that. He's not doing the Springer show anymore, and he's going to be Judge Jerry.
Right.
Remember when there was an uproar over the fact that NBC was NBC, right? Channel 5?
Yeah,
Channel 5 put him on.
Yeah, Ron Majors and Carol Reen resigned over it.
That's right. That was a big deal. Like, it was like they brought Springer in to do like the Springer,
like a commentary.
The commentary, like editorial. Like, yeah. 815 area codes. Rickles comes out and surprises Sinatra on Carson. Hilarious. See, those were the days, man. You know? Carson's there, got Frank Sinatra, and all of a sudden just Rickles just shows up. See, that's why the old Carson show was the best. 773 area code says, "How about the very first late night variety talk show, Broadway Open House, hosted by Maury Amsterdam on NBC in 1950? I remember it. I used to sneak out of bed and watch it, and it led to the development of The Tonight Show." Yeah, I do not remember that. Maury Amsterdam, I would think Maury Amsterdam would be a fun host. Good old Maury Amsterdam. Buddy on the Dick Van Dyke Show. 708 area code says, "I am great friends with the daughter of the potato chip lady from Carson. I've met her many times, and that's her favorite story to tell." Oh, that's cool. That's cool. 815 area code says, "The Carson episode with Dom DeLuise, Burt Reynolds, and the shaving cream. Reynolds' leather pants are classic." It was actually whipped cream. It was whipped cream that he came out with. That whole thing got started because of Dom DeLuise. Because of Don DeLuise. Don DeLuise, this whole thing started because Don DeLuise did this trick with some eggs, where he had eggs balanced on top of something, and he took a broom handle and flipped the broom handle, hit the thing, and the eggs were supposed to fall into six glasses of water. He had six eggs, and they were supposed to fall into six glasses of water. He ended up, like, hitting Johnny with an egg, and then they started whipping eggs at each other. And it got completely out of control. They were throwing eggs at the band. They were throwing eggs all over the place. And so eventually both Dom DeLuise and Johnny Carson were covered in egg because they had been whipping eggs at each other. And then that's when Burt Reynolds came out. So Burt Reynolds comes out, got the 70s Burt Reynolds, like big-time 70s Burt Reynolds, leather jacket, brown leather pants, shiny brown leather pants. He comes out. He's got a can of whipped cream and then starts shooting the whipped cream at Johnny. Johnny grabs a whipped cream from him. Whipped cream, you know, shoots it on his leather on the crotch of his leather pants, and then Bert takes the whipped cream and shoots it down Johnny's pants into his down at the front of his pants, and then stops. And then Carson goes, "No, keep going." So that's a classic, absolutely classic. But that whole thing started because of Dom DeLuise. Whole thing started because Don DeLuise did some stupid egg trick, and then it just completely went nuts. As soon as Bert got out there, it just escalated very quickly. But it's hilarious. It's classic. Hilarious. Let's see. The recluse Johnny Carson surprises Dave, and it turns out he wrote the monologue on The Late Show. This was in 1994. So it's 2 years after Johnny Carson retired. And when he retired, he retired. Like, he was not, I mean, he was, he, as soon as he was out of the public eye, he was out of the public eye. The two appearances that he made were, he provided his voice to a classic episode of The Simpsons. So he did that, and that appearance on Letterman's show. And when he came out, the crowd went nuts because this was, you know, Letterman was on. It was also a statement that Johnny made because he appeared on Letterman's show and not Leno, because Leno took over the Tonight Show. And, you know, when Letterman didn't get the Tonight Show, obviously there was a huge blow, and it was, you know, the late night wars began. And then he went over to CBS and when they gave Leno the Tonight Show. And so Johnny made a statement by showing up on Letterman's show. Never made an appearance when Leno took over the Tonight Show, but he did show up on The Late Show on CBS with Letterman. Didn't say a word. It was great, because when he made his entrance, the whole place went nuts. And as well they should, because he hadn't been seen in 2 years, and he's, you know, the king of late night, an absolute legend. He shows up on stage, just walks across the stage. The place goes nuts. Letterman gets up from behind the desk and leaves the desk empty and kind of gestures to Johnny to sit down behind the desk and take over. So Johnny, without saying a word, he walks over, he sits down, the place goes nuts again because he's sitting behind the desk by the microphone. Letterman is, you know, standing up, clapping off to the side. And then Johnny, it looks like he's going to say something. He doesn't, shakes his head, gets up, walks off the stage, shakes hands with Letterman, and walks off the stage. It was absolutely amazing. It was a legendary moment, a really, really legendary moment. And again, without saying a word, he made a massive statement by showing up on a CBS show, David Letterman, and not ever appearing on Leno's show after Leno took over the Tonight Show. That was one of my favorite moments. That was just a really memorable moment. You could see the joy in Letterman's eyes when Johnny comes out. I mean, and again, the whole crowd goes nuts. You know, the standing ovation, an ovation that lasts a few minutes. Didn't say a word. Did not say a word. And the effect was really, really, really amazing. So, yeah, classic moment. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We are talking about greatest talk show moments and talk show memories and all that stuff. If you want to join us, we're going to wrap it up after we play the Blackhawks Express. We'll have time for maybe a couple of calls, a few texts, and all that stuff. More memories of talk shows coming up. 312-981-7200. All right. Back to a happier topic. We're talking about talk shows here. If you want to jump in with your talk show memories, or if you've gone to a taping of a talk show, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Here's Jim in Carbondale on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Hello, Nick. I love you. You're great.
Thanks. Thank you.
You know, one of the greatest moments I ever saw in the Carson Tonight Show, it was a setup where, if you remember this, Ed McMahon was coming out in his limo with his driver, and he stopped at the security gate, and the security guy came out and says, "Mr. McMahon, there's been a lot of things stolen from NBC, so we're going to have to search," you know, and Ed's freaking out. So they go to the back, and they open the trunk up, and there's TVs and lots of computers from NBC in there, and Ed is just freaking out, you know. And he even starts blaming his driver, Charles, did you do this? And then all of a sudden Johnny comes out in a security guard suit, you know, like one of the Keystone Cops, and he's twirling his baton.
Right.
And everybody just cracked up, you know. It was a great moment.
It was great. That wasn't from The Tonight Show. That was from Practical Jokes, TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes, which Ed was a co-host with Dick Clark. And that's when they would play practical jokes on celebrities. And that was Johnny's idea. The practical joke was Johnny's idea. But it didn't actually happen on The Tonight Show. It happened on TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes. But they got Ed McMahon. And, you know, they got him good, even though he hosted the show. So, Jim, thanks. Thanks for the call. Dan, did you ever watch Punk'd when it was on?
Sure.
I loved that show. I make no apologies for it. I thought Punk'd was great. Did you ever see the episode where they tried to punk Ashton Kutcher?
No.
Totally failed. He knew it. That was back when Dax Shepard was still, you know, on the show before he became Dax Shepard and became one of the luckiest men in the world by marrying Kristen Bell. But it was great. They tried to do it. He was playing along for a while, but then he kind of reversed it. It's a great episode. And that's what, you know, I'm surprised Ed McMahon wasn't hip to it. You know, I mean, he only co-hosted the show. So, let's see. Here's Scott on WGN. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Hi.
There was another episode of the Letterman show where Johnny showed up and he brought his own fold-out desk that was bigger than Dave's desk.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, he came, he folded out this big desk, and they were laughing, and it was just a great episode. He's like, "Yeah, you didn't think I was going to have a smaller desk than you, did you?"
Now, was this before he retired or after?
This was, I believe, after.
Really? Okay, because I didn't see. For me, I just thought when Johnny retired, he made the one appearance on The Letterman, and he did the voice on The Simpsons, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think Letterman's show was on until after Johnny retired, was it?
Oh yeah. No, well, wait. You mean on the Late Show?
Oh yeah, that's probably what it was.
It was probably on Late Night. It was on Late Night, probably when he followed Johnny at 11:30.
Yep, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay, Scott. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See, Johnny always has a bigger desk. You can't have a bigger desk than Johnny Carson. You can't do that. Hey, by the way, Golden Globes are announced today. The Golden Globe nominees, and we're going to talk about that with Dan Feinberg on the TV side tomorrow morning, and I'll talk about the movie side as well. And Herb Weisbaum's going to be with us tomorrow too. It's going to be and our regular Friday feature. We got a packed show tomorrow, Dave.
Dave Bennett thinks so too. We are also starting early at 12:30.
Oh, that's right. We start at 12:30 following the Hawks. Hawks have a late game, but the post game is going to go to 12:30, so we got an extra half an hour tomorrow. So that should be fun. Okay, 630 area code says, I went to the 1980 Jerry Lewis Labor Day Telethon for MDA. I met all the stars of that show that year. Oh, come on now. You trying to make me jealous? Is that what you're trying to do? You trying to do that? 479 area code, the Johnny Carson show, the Charles Grodin conversations, I still don't know how to take them. I think they're hilarious. I think every Charles Grodin appearance on The Tonight Show is hilarious. Because he basically, like, there's this disdain. It's fake. It's an act. There's this disdain that Charles Grodin used to have for Johnny. And there was this tension between the two of them. But it was all an act, and it was brilliant. I think the Grodin appearances on The Tonight Show, go back and watch them on YouTube, because I think they're brilliant. 847 area code, my brother and I went to a taping of Kennedy and Company, a local morning show in 1972. The guest was Raquel Welch promoting Kansas City Bomber. Raquel was 32, I was 13. Need I say more? No, you don't. Kansas City Bomber, Dan. You ever hear that movie?
No.
That's a roller derby movie with Raquel Welch.
Oh, boy.
And it's awesome. And then 414 area code says, Chevy Chase on The Tonight Show with Siskel and Ebert. They panned Chevy's new movie that he was on to promote, and it was awkward. And Chevy Chase acted like a jerk during the whole thing. Tried to interrupt Siskel and Ebert and failed miserably. Tried to interrupt their segment the whole time. He was on the couch sitting next to Siskel and Ebert. So, all right. Talk shows, lots of fun. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up after this.